O God, come as the wind and inspire us. Come as the dew and refresh us. Come as the fire and cleanse us. Come as the light and reveal to us what you would have us to know. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last time I spoke was just as we were being notified that we wouldn't be able to meet corporately together for a while. And I hope that everyone is coping and adapting to our current circumstances. The gospel reading from Luke this morning takes place on the first Easter evening, and it's often known as the Road to Emmaus story. Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, about a 2-hour walk, and two of Jesus' disciples, part of the larger crowd that followed or showed up to hear Jesus if he was nearby, are heading home after a few days of some fairly traumatic and disappointing events for them. They are so caught up in their grief and confusion that they don't even recognize that it's Jesus who has started to walk along with them. The last time they may have caught a glimpse of him might have been Good Friday. They certainly didn't expect that Jesus would walk along with them today. The stranger asks them, what things are they talking about? They seem rather incredulous that this man hasn't heard about all that has happened in Jerusalem over the past few days. These two disciples tell of how they expected that Jesus was the one who would overthrow the Romans. They were still thinking back to Palm Sunday, a week earlier when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, if riding on a donkey can be considered riding in triumph. Not exactly a picture of military might. But the hope of many of Jesus' followers was that he would overthrow the Romans. And that's where these two disciples still were. How often is it that we expect Jesus, God, to do things the way that we expect? And to cap everything off for these two, there are now rumors of Jesus' body being missing. Jesus then opens to them the scriptures. Everything in the law and the prophets, that is what we now call the Old Testament, as he tells them of everything there that was said about him. He gives them the history of salvation, that everything that happened, all of the suffering, was necessary before he could enter into glory. As they came to Emmaus, Jesus acts as though he was continuing on his journey. This being late in the day would not have been a good idea. Robbers and wild animals were known to attack travelers at night. So the two disciples invite the stranger that they had gotten to know a bit to stay with them. When they sit down to eat, Jesus takes the bread and breaks it. Now the two disciples have probably heard about the Last Supper from those who were there, how Jesus had taken the familiar Passover meal and changed it up. When he took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you," which at the time probably did not make a lot of sense to them. These two have now had the scriptures open to them. They have heard the familiar stories, including Passover, and now Jesus is breaking bread in their midst, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And Jesus disappears from their sight. They wasted no time in going back to Jerusalem to find the others and tell them what had happened and how they recognized Jesus. Even today, we believe that Jesus comes to us in the communion. As Anglicans, we haven't exactly defined what happens to the elements, but we believe that somehow the bread and wine is different and no ordinary bread and wine, even though it looks, feels, and tastes the same, but different at the same time. Roman Catholics call it transubstantiation. The substance of what it is transformed. It is substantially changed. And our service of Holy Eucharist is a bit like the Emmaus Road story. We listen to the scriptures, we have them open to us, and we take part in the breaking of bread. And we believe that God in Christ draws near to us at these times. So now let's take a look at the reading from Acts. It's interesting to note that the author of Acts is also Luke, the author of the Gospel. Acts picks up where the Gospel of Luke ends. The Gospel is about Jesus' life, and Acts is about the first few decades of the church, specifically about what some of the apostles are doing in those early years. The Acts reading this morning is a continuation from where last week's Acts reading ended, and the setting for it is actually Pentecost morning. The Emmaus Road story on the first evening and Pentecost 50 days later, as told by Luke. The disciples have just experienced the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on them in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they have moved out into the street. Last week's reading covered Peter's first sermon to the crowd, particularly to those who are Israelites. This week is about their response. In last week's reading, Peter, like Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Peter gives a synopsis of the Old Testament, how it points to the Messiah, the Christ, and explains how Jesus has fulfilled all these things. Peter also makes it clear that the crowd bears some responsibility for Jesus' crucifixion. And let me be clear, if we were there, there's no reason to believe that we would have acted any differently. Our sin is just as responsible for Jesus' death. There may be many in the crowd who listened attentively to Jesus' teachings and also hoped that he was the longed-for Messiah. But again, the Palm Sunday Messiah, who would ride victoriously into Jerusalem and overthrow the Romans. Peter, though, is now well on this side of the resurrection. He has seen Jesus. John's Gospel tells us how he has been restored when Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. He has listened to the two disciples that rushed back to Jerusalem from Emmaus and what happened to them. Peter declares to the crowd that this Jesus God has made both Lord and Messiah. They were cut to the heart. They were deeply moved and asked what they must do to be saved. The answer is simple. Simply believe that Jesus has done it all for our salvation. Our response and thanksgiving for that is repentance and baptism, to turn away from sin. As Peter continued to say, to turn away from this corrupt generation. In our baptism, there are questions of renunciation, of turning away from evil, and of turning to the Lord. The purpose of Scripture from today's readings seems to be clear. It's to point to Jesus and tell the story of God's relationship with his people. God calls us into fellowship with him and with each other. The rules, the laws that it sets out are markers that help us on our journey with God. I don't believe they are to be used as legalistic tools to shame people or make them feel guilty. They are there for us to help us to meet God, to meet Jesus, and along the road to meet with each other. Like the disciples, there may be times when things seem confusing. Things aren't going as we had planned, like COVID-19. Usually patience is the key. And as we are able, we need to be ready to reach out and to help those in need. God will reveal himself and his plans to us when we are ready. Amen.